Over to you, Barry.
Thanks, David. Okay, folks. So, good evening and shalom. We are continuing with our theme of prayer, praying together as a body. And there's a passage which I've been drawn to, which I'd like us to consider this evening, certainly as a basis or a launch pad, perhaps. And then we'll see where the Lord takes us. So apologies that it didn't go out on the email today. That was my fault. It was too slow in letting Steve know. So I take full responsibility for that one. But it was on the website, I believe. Steve did put it onto the website. So if you did go onto the website, you may have picked it up. But before we look at the passage, it's worth us just recapping on some of the principles, I think, that we're trying to put into practice. You maybe know them well by now, but it's always worth reiterating just in case. So these are the things that we're going to try to learn or relearn or reemphasize this evening. So here's a few. Intercede by praying in the Spirit. Intercede based on the revealed Word of God. Okay. So it would be good as you pray, if you're basing your prayer on something from Scripture, that would be really helpful. Three, intercede having faith in the one who answers prayers and not in our ability to pray. Very important, that one. Intercede, number four, intercede by asking God as specifically as possible. We do not have because we do not ask. And then the last one is that when we come into his throne room of grace as a corporate body, let us intercede boldly. Okay. So these are just some of the principles. There are undoubtedly more. These are the ones that we're wanting to think about as we pray. You know, the cry of our hearts has been, Lord, teach us to pray. And so as we have some of these principles, which I believe are very good and useful, and as I said, no doubt there are more, but these ones are a good start for us. If we've got too many at a time, it's very difficult for us to learn. So it's just have a handful for us to concentrate on and to try to put into practice. But having said all that, this is a safe place. I hope it's a safe place, that we can make mistakes, that we will not feel judged, that we will not feel like we're bottom of the class if we make any mistakes. I trust that the grace of the Lord will be with us and in us and working through us towards one another this evening. Okay. So what's the passage that we're going to begin with this evening? So Revelation chapter 19. And we're going to start with verse 6, and we're going to work our way through to verse 16. I'll read it first, and then I'll very briefly share some thoughts, but nothing too much. We'll then open as we did last time, just spend maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just perhaps teasing out things, anything that sticks out to you, anything you want to comment on, so that we can start to fuel our prayers, and then we'll get going after that. Okay. So this is Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. And I'm reading from the NASB. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours, and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon himself, written upon him, which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Judith has just joined us, so let me just give her a few seconds to join. Evening, Ken. Nice to see you. Okay. Judith, there she is. Hi, Judith. Nice to see you. We're in Revelation chapter 19, and we've just read verses 6 to 16. Okay. Well, why am I drawn to this passage? Well, perhaps I'm not entirely sure, but I sense the Lord was drawing me here. And as I look at it and as I read it, for me, it in my spirit, it gives me, it cements, I suppose, in some way, my hope. Reminds me that Jesus Christ is very much on his throne, and he is coming back, and he will decide in righteousness and judge this world. But there was another little phrase that just caught my attention there, certainly this time as I was reading it through, which was the bride making herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, of the holy ones. And this whole idea of the bride making herself ready has been very much on my heart. Well, I'm not sure for how long, certainly for the last 6 months or so, or maybe probably longer. As the days are getting darker, the days are growing darker faster. And as I said, we've mentioned before, last summer, we had a real sense, a few of us, that bigger trouble is not far away. It will come perhaps sooner than we expect. It will come harder than we are expecting. And so on my heart for his church, for his bride, is that we are making ourselves ready. So perhaps we could pray into that this evening. But before we do that, I would like to hear from any of you who perhaps some other part of that scripture jumped out at or something has resonated with you, please. We'll spend a few minutes now, 10 minutes or so, just discussing that before we start to pray. Betty.
Yeah, just as you were concentrating on verse 8, I'm reading the Amplified version, and it says, she has been permitted to dress in fine linen.
Mm.
And that is such a privilege that we have been permitted.
Mm.
And we've been saying for what, you know, and in Luke it says, when these things begin to happen, look up. But we've been permitted to be in the presence of the Lord and to see these things.
Mm.
It just struck me then. I thought, what a privilege.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Now, perhaps it's just a good place for us to begin this evening. It's just by thanking him. To begin there before we move forward. Any other thoughts? Nothing else jumping out? Elizabeth?
Yeah, I think I was struck by, you know, the robe dipped in blood.
Right.
And he treads the winepress press of the fury and wrath of God. And I think we don't tend to think of Jesus in that light very much. But actually, if you read through the Old Testament, it's more akin to God's standards with his people, you know. But it just struck me that the imagery of a robe dipped in blood and treading the winepress and of the fury and the wrath of God. Well, that's what it says in the NIV.
Yeah.
It's quite strong, isn't it? And a lot of the words of Jesus are very strong. In fact, some of his disciples walked away because they just felt they couldn't go on anymore.
John, you're referring to John, is it John 6, where many of them left?
Yeah. And then the disciples said, well, you know, what should we do? I can't remember. And then
to whom should we go?
Jesus said to them, will you also leave?
Yeah.
And Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lots of his disciples turned back at that point and walked no longer with him because of the strength of what he was saying. Mm. A very, very powerful image, this, though. Right? This echoes, of course, of Isaiah 63, where Isaiah 63:3, I have trodden the winepress alone, and for the people there was none with me. So it's indicating that this judgment is the Lord himself alone. It's nothing that, you know, mankind will do. It is his sovereignty, which of course comes out in this whole passage. It will tread on them, and their blood will be sprinkled on my garments and will stain my raiment. And it goes on to say, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. So Jesus is coming here. Yes, it's vengeance on his enemy, but it's the year of his redeemed.
Thanks, David. Lovely. He, of course, is qualified, of course, the judge. We perhaps, or certainly are not, but when you were speaking there, Elizabeth, it made me think, you know, it can sometimes feel as contrasting pictures between the Old and New Testament. And certainly some people think there are. And I think it's so easy, isn't it, to confuse God's mercy with his laxness or somehow just sweeping things under the carpet. But we understand God to be merciful to those who ask for mercy, you know, who plead for mercy. So he's merciful, but it doesn't mean that he sweeps things under the carpet. this is reminding us that he's coming to finish the work that he started. Well, one could say finish the work he started after they fell in the Garden of Eden, to complete the work, which was Jesus came to destroy the devil's schemes. And he's coming to complete that work. And it reminded me of Psalm 130 as well, which says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And then it says, but there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Well, I think that's incredible, because fear and forgiveness going together. He's forgiven us. But he's forgiven us. There's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. So there's a perspective of this on this forgiveness that we need to have, which is, yes, when we've asked for mercy, he's been merciful and forgiven us, but it's not a right. It's not a right. So we need to fear God.
Let's work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Reminds me of that.
Yeah. And I heard yesterday that someone said, that Jesus' first sermon and his last sermon were very similar. They both talked about repent. And when they refer to the last sermon, they're talking about Revelation 3. Jesus spoke to Laodicea. Which I find interesting as well, his first sermon and his last sermon. Repentance that leads to forgiveness. That leads to fear. There's some thoughts. Any other thoughts before we start to pray?
Verse 11 of Revelation. It says, and there before me was a white horse, and sitting on it was the one called Faithful and True. And it is in righteousness that he passes judgment and goes to battle. And I've heard it said from several sources, you know, over the years, that we don't want to see the face of that one when we go into the battle. We want to see his back, which means we're following him and he's not coming at us.
Yeah, verse 15 says it's from his mouth comes a sharp sword that he will use to smite the nations, so presumably everybody in front of him. Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, let's begin this evening by what I think what Betty suggested was seemed to resonate with me. Well, the privilege it is that we're able, that we've been permitted to clothe ourselves in fine linen. I think this is all tying together. This is where the fear comes from. We're not claiming this to be a right. This is a privilege. It's a mercy. And therefore, our hearts should also go out to those who will not, who are perhaps, if he came today, they would not be behind him, they'd be in front of him. So perhaps we should be thinking of those dear people too. Father, what a mercy. What a privilege. that you have given to us, and we believe you. You are faithful and you are true. And so, Father, we believe that as we cry out for mercy, as we seek you, as we trust you, as we repent and turn away from our sins, we make ourselves ready. But Father, we acknowledge that it's by your grace and by your Spirit that empowers the change. Father, we cannot change ourselves. It's their Holy Spirit within us, changing us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a mercy. Father, forgive us when we've taken this for granted. But we rejoice this evening. We rejoice in being clothed in fine linen. And we pray, Father, as the days grow darker, that fine linen would be more and more ours, visibly ours. Lord, as we are changed into the likeness of Christ, may we be not just righteous in your sight, O Lord, but may we also be righteous in the sight of others, that they may see us, they may see our good deeds, but glorify our Father in heaven. Because, Father, we want to lift your name high. We want to lift the name of Jesus high. We want others to see Jesus, to worship Jesus, and to give him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor and blessing and power and riches. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you that you've put it on our hearts to want to follow you. And when it talks about our righteous acts, I think it's speaking more about our character that you are building in each one of us, Lord. And it is such a privilege. And it's not of our own doing. That you just want us to be willing to follow you and to read your word and rely on your Holy Spirit to lead us into whatever it is you have planned for us, Lord. Lord, thank you that we can absolutely trust you because you are true. And being true is just keeping a true line, a steadfast, incorruptible, completely straight line. And that you will build that in us, Lord. And sometimes to get to that place, we have to go through troubles and trials because we have that experience then to call on. But I just thank you how faithful you are to us, Lord. Mm. You don't leave us stumbling too long. You allow us to go through things that strengthen us, although we don't enjoy it at the time, Lord. As we go on with our walk with you, we can look back and we can see what it is you have brought us through. Mm. So, Father, I thank you that you have permitted us to wear white robes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, forgive us, Father, when we take you for granted. But Father, we ask you to teach us how to follow you in the way that you want. How to, Father, how to want to follow you. Oh, Father, there's so much we want you to teach us. And Father, there's so much you want us to learn. Father, please help us to know what it is you want us to do, what you want us to be, precisely, Lord. And Father, help us to stop taking you for granted. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the invitation that you've given us to dwell in the intimate place with you,
yeah,
under the shadow of your wings. Mm. Lord, I'm aware that your messiahship was marked by righteousness. And Lord, as we think about the bride of Christ and where we are along the line of history, Lord, we do indeed pray together that your bride would exhibit the righteousness that comes through following you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the precious promises. And Lord, for the power that you give us. Lord, we pray, make your bride ready. Amen.
Father, as the days get more and more dark, Lord, there'll be so much confusion. Lord, there'll be so much so many things, Lord, that will confine us. Lord, we may even doubt that we're on your side. So much confusion. Brother turning against brother.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it'll be hard to know who's on whose side. But Lord, help us to look up. Help us, Father, to see this Jesus, our returning King. And Lord, when we have to stand alone, and I am sure there'll be times when we feel that we are very much alone, the whole world has turned against us. Lord, I pray that we would have our roots so firmly in you that we will not be moved. We will take our stand in you, even unto death. Oh, Father, make us ready. Make us ready. The way our brothers and sisters across this earth, Lord, already are making these decisions daily. When brother turns against brother, they have to choose whether to stand on your word or to deny your name. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them, that you would give them great clarity of thought, a great understanding of your truth, that they can see your light in all the darkness. And Lord, as they stand on you and in you and upon your word, Lord, would your name be glorified. Lord, keep our motives pure. Lord, keep us holding to you. Lord, make us people of prayer. Make us people of complete dependency upon you. Lord, we want to be completely dependent. But Lord, if I'm honest, I know there's so many times I'm so self-reliant. But Lord, I know that in those days when food is scarce, when we're not allowed to buy things, when we're complete outcasts, as the book of Revelation tells us, when the government decides to destroy the Christians, Lord, we will need to be people of prayer. So, Father, would you get us ready? In Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, Father, I was just struck when we were reading this about how even St. John wanted to bow down and worship the angel, I guess it was, that was healing. He said, you must not do that. Mm-hmm. And Father, I just ask that you will give us great wisdom to turn to you and not to those that Lord, we are so frail in our judgment sometimes, and we get carried along by charismatic preachers and put our trust in men rather than in you, Lord.
Mm.
And they might be really good men. But Lord, you want our total devotion to you, and it's so easy. And in this last week, I have been so almost brought down because somebody I've trusted in and believe their word and really believe their teaching has said something that is totally against what my understanding is. And Lord, it really doesn't matter what people say. We've got your word. That you are the word, Jesus. So help us to be able to stand firm just on you. Yes, listen to others and hear what others are having to say, but to always bring it to you and to bring it to your word, Lord, to weigh it up for the truth. I think there's so often we can have trust in what other people are doing and what they're saying rather than just relying on you. Father, as Barry has prayed about when the times come and whether we'll be able to stand, and sometimes I think, yes, we'll probably be able to stand for ourselves. Well, what about those we love? If they're in danger, will we still be able to stand, be willing to sacrifice those we love if push came to shove? But Lord, I trust that you will not give us more than you've prepared us for.
Mm.
And your word says, I will give you the words to say. And you'll not test us beyond that which we can manage, Lord. So just increase our faith, I pray. For your glory, Lord. Amen.
Then the people that know their God shall be strong and shall take action. Father, help us, draw us closer to you that we might know you intimately, know not just about you, but to know you as a person, to know your presence with us, to know your power resting on us because we can do nothing, or it's when we are weak, then we are strong. But it's the people that know their God who shall be strong and take action. Father, that's what the desire of our hearts is to be those people that you can rely on, but not relying on our strength, but because we rely on your strength, because you are empowering us. Father, just that prayer of my heart, help me to know you more, not about you, but to know you, to be taken into your confidence, to be intimate, to be in an intimate place. For these are the days that Daniel was writing of, when he was told that the people that know their God shall be strong and shall take action. Father, help us, we ask in Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray that particularly for the upcoming generation, Lord, that the new wineskins would be fully rooted and producing the fruit, Lord, through that understanding of your calling, of understanding what it is to be on your side in today's society as well. Lord, not to be pushed to the right nor to the left, but to receive what it is that is to be a righteous person, not from our society, but from your word. Lord, thank you for what we're seeing. Thank you, Lord, that there does seem to be this miraculous coming together of the next generation. We pray that they would know and hear the works of the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that they would be truly on your side and truly fight the foe in the way that you desire us all to stand together as one body. Amen.
Matthew 24:12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Lord, we are living in those days of the increase of wickedness, and we see that the love is growing colder. And Lord, but we are those who need to love with your love. So, Lord, we just pray for that love to really take root in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we would learn to love. In these days of preparation, Lord, for what's coming, we would really have your love in our hearts more and more. So that we'll be able to stand firm to the end, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray for myself and my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you'd help us by your Spirit enter into that selfless love, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Reminded about how Peter was able to sleep the night before he was due to be dealt with, and yet he was able to be at peace, at shalom. And Lord, we desire that our minds should be fully stayed upon you. thinking about a bit of last week, I think, when we talked about the rock, Lord, that our feet would be truly on the Lord, on that rock. We'd know ourselves to be taken from that rock. It's pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, help us to help the body to desire and stay in that clean place with you. Lord, both raise up your bride, Lord, and enable us, Lord, to play our part. Amen. God, help us, Lord, to bring this to be. Lord God, help us to encourage those young people, to have your words for them. Amen.
Father, the word victory. Jesus Christ is victorious, Father. I thank you for this part of scripture we've been focusing on this evening, the victory of Jesus Christ come to fulfillment. Father, thank you that the faithful and true one is and will be victorious, and that we can stand in his victory. Father, teach us to be overcomers. Teach us to overcome day by day as we face, which maybe to many of us is a sometimes monotonous daily grind, same thing over and over, but it's not without purpose. Father, you're teaching us, you're training us, training our hands for war. You're teaching us, Lord, to overcome. You're teaching us to rejoice when all things and around us seem perhaps dreary or even difficult. Lord, may we learn the secret of joy in you, contentment in you, peace in you. Oh, Father, thank you that you have every part of our lives just as you would have them. And so, Father, help us to see purpose in wherever you've placed us. Purpose in our difficulties, purpose in our lives, purpose in our families, purpose in our churches, Lord. Lord, may we be a people who do not complain, but rather people who rejoice, people who boast in you, people who live according to your spirit. Oh, Father, lead us forward, and may our heads be lifted high. As we know the end, Lord, that Jesus Christ wins. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are ridding this earth of all sin. You're creating a brand new heavens and a new earth. Nothing impure will ever enter it. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more death. Hallelujah, Father. What a future we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, may that future help us in the times of difficulty. that we may see that that future lies before us if we stay fixed in you, Lord, trusting you, overcoming to the end. Lord, it'll all be worth it. In fact, we will look back, I am sure, and realize just how temporary, how fleeting the suffering has been in this world, in light of an eternity, a perfect, pure eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Oh, Father, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Father God, we need your wisdom. We need you, Father God, please, to guide us in your paths, moment by moment, 24/7, as we go through life. That, Father, at each moment we will know which way you want us to turn or to go straight ahead. Father, please, give us your wisdom to know these things, that, Father, we may walk exclusively in your paths, and that, Father, we may be your ambassadors as we go through life. Give us that wisdom, Lord, to know how to speak to other people, that, Father, particularly people like my own son who wants not to know anything about you. And Father, he's not alone. It seems that the majority of people in the world are in that situation. And please, Father God, give us the words to speak or to shut our mouths, whichever is your will, Father. And please give us that wisdom that we shall walk in your will and no other way, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.
Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, I just thank you for your word that revives us and sustains us and makes us wise and endures forever. Lord, just thank you for your word, and the comfort that your word gives us and the assurance of it. It's like a friend to us, Lord. We can come at any time and turn to it and, you know, be encouraged and cleansed. Thank you for the cleansing power of your word. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the passage that Barry has selected for tonight and the encouragement that there is there. That the victory is yours, that you are the Lord. And that we know that all things have been created by you and for you. Lord, thank you for the encouragement. We praise you because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the King. Father, we thank you for your hand on your church. And Lord, we pray for the church in this country. Lord, we pray that you would both enlighten the hearts of your people and also make a way for those that choose the righteousness that you ask for us to do. Lord, we pray for the good works that you call us to do. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that the picture of putting on of righteous acts, according to what it is that you mean by that, Lord, we pray, Lord, that it would be the case, Lord. Then God, we pray, Lord, for the enabling, your enabling for your saints within the churches in our country to put on the clothing, put on the good works that you have for them to do. God, we pray, Lord, that, well, we thank you, Lord, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church that is founded on the rock. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Mm-hmm. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. By your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned.
One Peter 4:2-4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I laid a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of those words that you've chosen and called us, Lord, that we may declare the praises of you who've called us out of darkness into your light. Lord, I just thank you, and Lord, I just pray that we would live those words. I pray this for myself, Lord, that I would shine more brightly in your light, Lord. Lord, I just pray for it, all of us, Lord, would work together you just help us, Lord, by your Spirit, encourage us in these days to know who we are in you for ourselves and just together, Lord, that we would take courage. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I may broaden that just a little bit to the salt shakers. We're aware that Steve had his meeting today at Newbury. I think it was today. And Lord, do pray, Lord, that the good direction, the good hand of the Lord, what you're saying, Lord, would be a long-lasting impression from today, and that we would find salt shakers sure of its place in what you're doing and what you want, Lord, as we are transitioning really from one period to another, one time to another time. Lord, we pray, Lord, for your direction for salt shakers. Lord, lead us, Lord, we pray. Pray we'd be aware of your light in the night and your pillar of smoke in the day. Pray for your leadership. Pray for your leading.
Well, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to sit. We've been able to listen. Listen to you. Listen to you speak through one another. Father, a time of refreshing. Father, thank you. I pray, Father, as we move out into this week, Lord, our heads would be high. We would rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, because he has done it.
Yes.
Victory is sure. Hallelujah. May the Lord be glorified to the very ends of this earth. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, folks. A wee bit lighter on the ground this evening, but it gave us more of an opportunity just to silence. I don't know if you feel comfortable in silence, but I like silence. So I hope you didn't feel too uncomfortable. But it's good. It's good to listen. As we sit, and perhaps with few of us here, gives us more of an opportunity to listen.
I sent you an email, Barry. You know, I didn't know whether I wanted to share it with the group, but I didn't know whether. So I'd be grateful if you would look at it sometime and decide yes. whether it's something to bring to the group.
Great, thank you, Betty.
Okay.
And I give my apologies for next week, Barry. I'm away at Bigton, the Bible Week.
No problem. Jeremy, well, have a good time, and Lord willing, we'll see you when you're back. So thank you, everyone. Shalom to you all, and good evening. And yes, Lord willing, we'll see you again next week.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.